We are loved or hated only because of Jesus. Today's message is a kind of a wrap-up, in a sense, of this journey we've been on this past Eastertide. We've been going through several weeks, and we've been asking ourselves a question: what does it mean to follow Jesus in the light of his historic resurrection? In other words, if Jesus is raised from the dead, which we affirm, what does it mean to trust in Jesus, follow him? What does it mean to be a Christian? And so every week we've been sort of saying a phrase or a sentence that encapsulates an aspect of following Jesus, and the hope is by the end of this series we'd have a contour, a shape of a life that trusts and follows in Jesus. And so we've been saying many things. Kind of, we've been saying, well, if Jesus is raised from the dead, then when we have doubts, we bring our doubts to Jesus. That's what we said our first week, because if we bring our doubts to Jesus, what we're doing is we're also growing in trust in him. And as we trust Jesus and we grow into deeper relationship with him, well, then we're going to share about his good news, right? We're going to share the faith that we have with others. And that's what these are like the key aspects of what it means to follow him. And that's where we landed 2 Sundays ago. We said, well, we follow Jesus. We're guided by him. We trust Jesus. We bring our doubts to him. We're following him. And then we started talking about, well, what's the core, what's the heart of what it means to follow Jesus? And we said, well, to follow Jesus, the heart of it is we follow him because we love him. We have had a sense of what he's done for us, giving his life for us, sharing his love with us. And as we apprehend that, as we receive that love, we reciprocate in love for Jesus. And that was the key conversation we started last Sunday that we have to, in a sense, wrap up or finalize today. We said, well, love was a complicated term we talked about last week, because love isn't the definition of love in the Christian tradition isn't the same as what we talk about love in the wider world, because love, when we talk about loving God, it's not something that's anchored in our feelings. Oh, I feel this affection for Jesus, or I just feel so warm about him. That's not what we're saying when we say love. Love is obedience. That's what we learned last week. Love, in other words, is anchored in that part of being human, that part of ourselves, the will, that human faculty by which we make decisions, we make choices. In other words, to love God, to love Jesus, is to make choices to live the life that he has called us to live. And that was the important takeaway. And I want us to sort of remember that, think about that. Because to love, if love was a feeling, well, then that's tricky, because our feelings change, right? Some days I feel one way, some days I wake up and I feel a different way. And if my love for any given person, let alone God, is anchored in my feelings, well, then some days I might wake up and I don't really feel that loving towards you, right? That's not the way it's supposed to be. So love can't be anchored in our feelings. It's too wishy-washy. And I want you to think about something else. Love, here's the issue with it being anchored in our feelings, is that we could really be mistaken about how we perceive God and what God has called us to do. But if we're anchored in our feelings and we sort of self-validate, then we could really we have these warm feelings for God and feel that we're really close to him, but God would not be smiling at us. We could be sinning, we could be doing things that grieve God's heart, that would be separating us from him. But we would be thinking in our feelings, oh, I feel so warm about God, I love God. And we would be blinded to the fact that we're not growing closer to God, that we're not in communion with him, that actually there'd be a separation. That's why we can't have our love for God, our love for Jesus, be an effective reality. It can't be based on our feelings. It's our will. A part of ourselves that makes choices to follow Jesus. And that's, well, that's the path of obedience. That's what Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Because love is proven in the choices that we make. So that's where we were at last week, and we said, okay, love is obedience. And I want to sort of flesh that out a bit. I want to give two realities of what it means, what the implications of this way of understanding following God, following Jesus. Because one, if in fact following Jesus and loving him means obeying him, then that means that there'll be some, we have to have eyes open to the complicated reality of that, the journey of following Jesus. We have to be honest about it. We can't be blinded by it, because an honest spirituality has highs and lows. And it's good to have an open eyes of what that means. First, if following Jesus is obeying him, we have to have a clear understanding what that means. And I'm thinking about this book by C.S. Lewis. I bring it up almost every Sunday, but I love C.S. Lewis. And then there's this book series that he wrote. It's a trilogy. It's called The Space Trilogy. It's not too well known, unfortunately, but it's a fantastic read. And in the second book, it's basically about the main character, Dr. Ransom. He travels through space. He goes to Venus. God brings him there, essentially, because on the planet Venus, they have their own version of Adam and Eve that God has created, right? So that's the beginning of their history. And then the enemy, the devil, shows up on that planet to tempt Eve into sin. And so the main character of this book, Dr. Ransom, is taken to that planet to try to protect that woman, that first their version of Eve, and to debate essentially the devil to make sure she doesn't choose to follow him. And it's an incredible book. I highly recommend it. There's this one crucial scene where the devil's tempting that Eve on that planet to betray a command that God has given, and he's saying to her, "Well, this rule doesn't make any sense. All of God's rules make sense, or you can understand them, but this one, no other planet has this rule. Only your planet has this rule, and it doesn't make sense why you would say it. So God, what he clearly means is that you should break this rule." That's what the devil's saying to that Eve. "And if you break this rule, then you'll be more yourself. You'll be a more dedicated and powerful individual. And that's what God wants for you, that you should assert yourself and become more your true self, who you're always meant to be, your individual beauty, your individual sort of power and majesty," kind of hyping up the individualism in that Venus's Eve. And so the main character, Dr. Ransom, has to talk to her about that. And he says to her, "Well, hold on a second. There's different types of commands." "Yes, there's some commands," he says to her, "where God commands a certain thing, and it's evident it's a good thing God's commanding you to do, and of course you do it. But there are also some commands that you don't necessarily understand that God calls you to follow. But he calls you to follow that because it's in those moments when you actually don't understand, but that you obey, that you can actually experience true obedience." Because he says, "Well, if you understood and it made sense to you all the commands God gives you, then in the end, when you're obeying him, really what you're doing is you're also choosing to follow God. Yeah, but you're also choosing to follow that which looks good in your own eyes. So you happen to agree with it. But only there are some commands God gives where you can't see the final end of why it makes sense. But when you follow God, you are obeying him. True obedience is happening." Now, why would that matter? It matters, my friends, because in those moments when we follow God, especially when we don't fully understand, we can't see the big picture. Sometimes it takes us a while to see what was going on. Sometimes I think we'll never see. But when we trust God and we obey him, when it doesn't make sense to us, what's happening is that we're stepping outside of our own will and we're inhabiting the will of God. And that's exactly what we need. Because I want you to think about it. When we're stuck in our own will, when we are thinking our own thoughts and seeing that our life should go this way, that the world should go that way, like we're in our own mind, it's precisely inhabiting our own minds that we've seen the brokenness of this world, the history of this world, is because we've only been inhabiting our own mind. But if we were to be able to get outside of our own selves, our own will, and inhabit God's will, in God's reality, in God's life, that's where life and love and peace are to be found. So we need to get outside of our own will and step into God's will for us to then be able to receive and experience God's life, God's love. So in a sense, do you understand how obedience is the necessary vehicle by which we get outside of ourselves, get our will, and we submit it to God, we submit it to Jesus. That's what we've always needed. That's why this path matters. That's why love is a choice to obey Jesus. That's the only way that our healing can happen. Think of it this way. God is offering us his life and his love in Jesus, but by ourselves, we are incapable of receiving that life and love. We get in our own way. So, but if we obey Jesus and we practice a life of obedience to Jesus, we are diminishing that part of ourselves that trips us ourselves up, which is our own will, and we take on the will of God, of Jesus, are being transformed, and we will be able to receive his life and his love. We'll become the people we were always meant to be, people that are in relationship and deep communion with the Creator of the universe. And we'll be empowered to love others, to be agents of justice and peace in this world. But that begins with obedience, with submitting our will and following Jesus, taking his will into our lives. And here's the second part. This is tricky. Now, this is where we have to be honest. Because when we do that, there will be times when following Jesus will be costly. Because the water world won't agree. You have to understand that this water world we live in isn't interested in promoting the things of Jesus. This world has its own views, its own way of existing, its own agendas, but we're following Jesus, and so that means that there'll be times there'll be friction where we won't see eye to eye. And that's where it gets hard. That's where the follower of Jesus will be out of step, out of line with the spirit of the age. Right? There'll be certain political views, certain moral views that you won't agree. And I think that if you've been following Jesus for a while, you've experienced that in your own life. Right? Because sometimes we do and say things where we're like, yeah, everyone agrees. We should fight for this just cause, or we should say this. And everyone's like, yay, human rights, or whatever. You know, we'll say things where everyone's agreeing. But then sometimes we believe and say things that the world doesn't agree. And what is the follower of Jesus to do then? Well, we're meant to follow Jesus even if it's unpopular, even if we're not validated or approved of by the water world, because we follow Jesus. And you see, it's in those crucial moments when our faith in Jesus is not in line with the water world where it matters that our life of obedience is based on the will, our decision to follow him. Because if our love for God is based on our feelings and how we feel in the moment, well, when it gets hard, we'll just change our mind. Oh, okay, well, Jesus said that. And we'll find ways of, like, reworking the Bible to validate, like, what we find comfortable, which really what we find comfortable is what the water world is saying. And we'll just, ever so easily, just boot Jesus out of the center of our lives. But that's not the way it's meant to be. We're meant to follow Jesus no matter what, even when it gets hard. And my friends, it will get hard. Sometimes, or even often, following Jesus is not popular, and therefore, you following him will make you seem weird to the wider world. Or certain beliefs or convictions you'll have that are grounded in the Bible, that are grounded in Jesus, will seem to the wider world just wrong, or passé, regressive, old-fashioned. And there'll be a temptation for us to accommodate the spirit of the age, to accommodate what everyone else is saying, and then try to craft a religion or a Christianity that fits with everyone. And I want you to think about this, because that can't be it. So the question really is, are we doing that even now? Are we following the true Jesus, or are we following the Jesus that we've kind of just made up? And I'll give you a simple test, and I don't know if you can do it, but it's a thought experiment. If you were to take, this is how it works, if you were to take the Christian faith that you hold, your convictions, and if you had to go into like a public space, like a cafe or something, and if you were to explain your beliefs, and at the end of what you were sharing, explaining about Jesus and your Christian faith, everyone just clapped, and no one thought what you said was odd or weird, but everyone's like, oh yeah, that's great, yeah, that's awesome. That's Christianity that I know. In a sense, you'd have to ask yourself, well, what is it that I'm saying? If what I say about Christianity and Jesus, everyone just claps and approves of, am I actually resembling my preaching and my sharing the Jesus of the Scripture? Because remember, Jesus loved God perfectly, and he loved people perfectly, and he preached the message of God and they killed him. Yeah, some people were gravitating towards him, but a lot of people hated him too. So I want to be honest with you. To follow Jesus, sometimes you're going to be hated too. Yeah, sometimes people will cheer you and approve what you're doing, but sometimes they're going to hate what you're saying and what you're doing and what you stand for. That's the true path of following Jesus. That's what Jesus says. You want to follow me? Pick up your cross. It's hard to follow Jesus. And here, this is where we have to be clear. We are loved only because of Jesus. That means that if people are approving of you and loving you as followers of Jesus, it's because we're loving people and we're doing things in this world in the name of Jesus to bless our neighbors, to bless our families, to bless those around us. And then people will recognize the good works that we do in the name of Jesus, and they will applaud. And that happens too. People love Jesus. But there will be times when people will hate you and reject you because you follow Jesus. And that's part of the journey too. And we have to make sure that there, when we're hated, when we're people are against us, it's because of what Jesus says. It's possible that people could also hate us and be against us because we're being mean, we're being jerks. And that's not the way of Jesus. I mean, sometimes you're loving and you're an agent for justice and peace in this world, and you're doing it in the name of and for the sake of Jesus, and people just won't like that. Even when you agree on things and you're working on the same thing, when they realize that you're doing it because of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, they'll resent you. Even when you're agreeing on something, because they don't want you to think differently than them. They don't want you to be like them. They want you to be the same, but we're not the same. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So you will, in following Jesus, experience rejection. And you're going to experience hardship. My friends, even though that's real, in following Jesus, we have to hear what Jesus says. We're not alone. In our gospel reading, Jesus is praying for his followers. He's praying for us that we would be safeguarded, that even while the world may be against us, that Jesus has overcome the world. He's prayed for you. Jesus is on your side. You're not alone. And so, my friends, I want to encourage you as we are following Jesus in this life, no matter what hardships we experience, Jesus has already gone through the hardest experience on our behalf. Jesus has gone to the cross. He's given his life for you and for me. The hardest thing has been achieved. We, if following Jesus and accepting his will instead of ours and following his way and saying, Jesus, you are God, you are Lord, I trust you, I follow you, and making that decision, that choice, not just once, but every day, we are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. His life, his love is in us. That means that as Jesus died on the cross and he gave his life for you and for me, death is not the end. This life is not the end. And that should give us that courage, that conviction that we can follow Jesus and stand for what he says and for his life and for his teachings, for his word, for his truth, not deviate from that, and still remain at peace and even experience joy. That steadfastness, that even though we suffer sometimes, that we don't give in, we don't despair, because God's love is found in our life. We're going to be okay. Jesus is with us. That is what it means to follow him. I love God. I love Jesus. I obey Jesus. Yes, sometimes you may like me because the things that I'm doing, I'm saying, are in line with what you believe. That's great. We stand for Jesus. We stand for truth. We do good in this world. And sometimes the good that I'm doing on behalf of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you won't agree with. Okay. I still stand with Jesus. I cannot be in the end shaped by popular opinion of this water world that has rejected Jesus. I am shaped by God found in Jesus Christ. And our prayer today, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table to receive his grace, his life, his love, I pray that you would bring your life to him at this table. Bring your life and say, God, I want to follow you. I want to obey you. What parts of my life am I not submitting to you? What part of my life have I even created a counterfeit Jesus that just approves of everything I say and do? God, help me find the truth in my life. I want to follow you. I want to honor you. I want to trust you. I want to be guided by you. And as you come to Jesus in good faith, seeking to have his life and his love in your life, he'll be there. He'll never fail you. Jesus loves you. He is with you. And that we can trust. So let's follow him. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we just give you thanks and praise that in the midst of our life journey, when you know, we're wanting to follow you, God, but there's so many pressures and challenges in this world to trust in you, to follow you, God, even when we fail, you don't judge us, you don't turn us away, you don't, you only draw near. You are so ready to welcome us home if we just turn to you in trust and faith. So God, I pray for everyone in this room. You know our lives, you know the decisions we have to make, the social circles that we inhabit where it can be tricky to even say that we're a follower of your son, Jesus. God, give us that courage to identify as followers of Jesus. God, help shape our lives to trust you, to follow you all our days. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you for your love. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen.